So go to your history books. The Wright brothers, you may recall, figured out how to make flying machines by tinkering with state-of-the-art technology in their own bike shop in Dayton, Ohio, at around the turn of the 20th century. Jobs and Wozniak, Steve Jobs that is, famously soldered together a personal computer in a Palo Alto living room about a century later. But in our time, technology is less accessible to tinkerers, it seems. Imagine the Wright brothers today. Where would they tinker? Where would they find state-of-the-art technology to mess with and to explore their dreams? Well, they would find it in communities of electronic hackers who get together all over the world in things called hacker spaces and share their gifts, their obsessions, and their exotic tools. So we sent Takeaway producer Jim Colgan out into the hacker community to do some tinkering of his own, and I think it's fair to say that you had the time of your life. You can go to our website, and thousands of people have, to see you having fun with state-of-the-art technology in these great hacker spaces. Explain what you saw and the tools that you witnessed.
Okay, first of all, take a listen to this sound.
Got it.
What do you think it is?
A duck trying to sing?
No. You know, that should be a takeaway question. What is that sound? Actually, what does it really sound like? I mean, it might be obvious.
Maybe a printer, but I kind of know what it is, so.
Yeah, okay, you're just... Well, it is a printer, and most people might have gotten that, but maybe a printer from, like, the 1950s or something. But it's actually a 3D printer. So it's actually a printer of the future. And that was the first thing I saw when I went into this room. There were these hackers playing around with a 3D printer. You know what a 3D printer is, right?
Well, I mean, it's printing objects. It's not printing images on a flat surface. So, I mean, we're not simply talking about making pictures that look more real. We're talking about actually almost doing what a lathe does, machining parts.
Exactly. And for me, it just sounds like something out of Star Trek. This object comes out of something that looks like a printer.
Well, who's using this thing?
Okay, so I asked the guy actually beside him, you know, he was all excited about it, but I asked him, his name was Bree Pettis, and he was a hacker there, and here's what he told me what people do with 3D printers, which he calls, his one is called a MakerBot. Here he is.
If your friend has one, you can just basically say, hey, Jim, I know you've got a MakerBot. Can you please, you know, make me up some new earrings. My washing machine knob has gone missing. Can you make me up another one?
That's fascinating. But the amazing thing is that if it was the Wright brothers, they could actually design on screen some part and actually make it right there and test it right there. And that's what they're doing in these hacker spaces.
Exactly. Or like Da Vinci, you know, he's famous for having those designs that were never actually made. Maybe he could have made some of them, like a helicopter or whatever he was.
All right.
But so I actually was astounded. I sat there watching this 3D printer. I was in awe. And then out
You're
came.
Still in awe.
I'm okay.
So you, do you actually
Sorry,
get some cool thing
you,
to put
you
in your
can
hand?
Tell. Well, here's what happened when I saw it.
So what I'm holding in my hand is a beveled gear.
Wow, that came out of it?
Yeah. Zach designed this, and then layer by layer, it built it up until it was a finished object. And we've made two of these so that they can interlock and they're just really satisfying.
Beveled gears, really satisfying. Now, as dorky as this sounds, you're describing really a social networking set of communities, and it's happening all over the world, these hackerspaces where people get together, use exotic tools, and design all kinds of things. I imagine, as a visitor from planet Earth, you know, people had a lot to show you.
They did, and they showed me what they called open source hardware. So we've all heard probably of open source software, but this is open source hardware. They share all this information. And they're all even more enthusiastic than I am right now, if you can believe that. But so I walked over to all the other people who were just dying to show me what they had. And there was one guy, his name was Jean-Pablo Villanueva. He was a member of this group called NYC Resistor. And he showed me what looked like a shoebox that could tell him the weather in 8 cities through music. And here's what he sounded like.
So, for example, let's go to Boston, turn the knob to Boston. Press the button. And that's a little tune, which is the weather forecast for the next week or so.
So what does that mean, that tune?
Well, it's sort of low pitch, so it means it's kind of cold. So if you go to Miami, which is warmer, it's going to be a lot higher pitched. See? So cool. Miami's clearly hot and getting hotter.
So a synthesizer in a box getting data from the internet and telling us the weather, and he fabricated the whole thing there at, what's it called, Brooklyn Resistor?
It's called NYC Resistor, and it's in downtown Brooklyn, right, in this very sort of gray, ordinary-looking building where they're making these amazing machines.
And in this particular case, we actually don't need this machine, even though it was fun to play.
It was fun to play, and it was, you could tell how much fun it was for him to build, and I'm sure he discovered a lot of things about synthesizers that he never knew before. before.
What are some others?
Okay, so then I walked up to this girl named Max Whitney, and here's what she told me.
I'm building a clock from outer space for a friend of mine.
A clock from outer space. So what do you mean by that?
So it's a clock that counts from a specific time received from outer space.
Oh, like from where?
Pretty much wherever electricity comes from, because as you know, electricity comes from other planets.
So she's taking signals from space, decoding it into some sort of time signature, and then telling time from that.
Who knows?
Why? I mean, it sounds great.
It does sound great, and that was exactly my question. I said, why are you doing this kind of thing? And here's what she said.
It's insanely, awesomely cool, and it's harder than anything else I do, and so it keeps my brain alive. I don't think that we're just doing it for fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun involved, but it's also very much about gaining skills in what's coming next. And so to some extent, it's professional survival. But it's also figuring out what we should each individually be doing next.
So it is kind of like the Wright brothers, but meeting a community. And this is a social phenomenon that goes beyond simply finding ways of making the next big thing.
It does. It was actually a real community. You know, you could tell that they had, you know, this, a lot of their lives were built around this community too, and they sharing information and building things together. And I'm curious. I wonder, did the Wright brothers have that kind of? Did they play like these
right.
guys? That's what
they
have me thinking now. Yeah.
Well, tell us about this last guy who actually has an interesting to-do list.
Okay, this guy is Nick Bilton, and he's the guy who actually showed me around NYC Resistor, the hackerspace. And he actually works, his day job is working for the New York Times, working at the top of the building, trying to come up with prototypes for the next newspaper, for the newspaper of the future.
That's a hard problem. But
he
was working on some easier problems there at NYC Resistor.
Exactly. He comes to NYC Resistor to have fun, but that's his day job. But so I asked him about, you know, whether one informs the other. Like, does having fun actually help his day job and help us get a newspaper of the future? And here's what he told me. Now, you have to be just a bit wary. There's a bit of a technical jargon here, which we can explain after.
Right.
So let's take a listen.
I just actually am doing a project right now where we're putting an API into our couch in the living room so that it can detect when people sit down at the couch. And I'm using a new thing called an Ethernet shield on the Arduino, and it couldn't get it to work. And so I, you know, send an email out to our list, and a couple of the guys, you know, gave me the right code and showed me what I was doing wrong and got it up and running pretty quickly. So,
well, an API with your Arduino with the Ethernet code there, and at least you can call somebody up and get an answer. And I have no idea what he's talking about, but
exactly.
It doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter. And, you know, APIs, we actually all use them, even if we don't know fully what they are. Like, Google releases their API so that people can build on Google's site. Amazon does it. But anyway.
All right, well, we got to go. But on the website, thousands of people have seen your adventures in NYC Resistor, one hackerspace, and they're happening all over the world. Jim Colgan, our producer, thanks so much.
Yeah, and thanks to Jennifer Hsu, who shot that video. So
yes, indeed.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.